This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. If you love the show, share it with your friends on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts. Here with us again is comic Margaret Cho.
Yes, we talked to her earlier in the show about her new stand-up act, Fresh Off the Bloat, which she is touring around the country. In it, she takes on tough issues of race, gender, and her own struggles with substance abuse. And now she is going to take on our listeners' etiquette dilemmas.
We told them you were coming, Margaret.
Okay.
So are you ready for these questions they've submitted?
I'm ready.
All right. Wonderful.
All right, so here's one from Rooney. She's from Downey, California. Rooney says, As an Asian person, I get asked this question a lot. Where are you from? I normally just respond with, I'm from Los Angeles, but they always push a little further and ask, but where are your parents from? I am tired of explaining my ethnic background. How should I deal with this question?
Well, I think that's really the answer. I am tired of dealing with this question. People always assume foreignness from Asian faces and Asian names. This idea that we're permanently foreign no matter where we're from. You know, I'm from San Francisco. I was born there. I was raised there. I really am an American in every sense of the word. Yet my foreignness is always something that's sort of like highlighted.
It's interesting. Although what happens if you have this experience with someone who's also of Asian descent? Because I know that's something actually within the Korean community
right.
that you get a lot. It's like, are you from Korea, or how many generations removed from being born in Korea are you?
Yeah, I mean, that's more of a valid question, I think, just because it's like, okay, well, we are all from this particular diaspora, you know?
Nice.
So we can actually like talk
that
about
that word
this.
Sounds like it immigrated here too.
I know.
So your suggestion is like a meta answer. It's like, you know what? I'm tired of answering that question. I told you I'm from Los Angeles.
Yeah. And you can give them the history lecture of how many times you've been asked that question and how stupid it is to have to continue to answer it. And
by the end of that, they'll just be like, you know what, forget it.
Yeah. And then they'll learn something, that this foreignness that is assumed about us is a racist trope and does not need to, you know, kind of exist in polite society.
All right. Rooney from Downey.
There you go.
There's your suggestion. And I don't care where you're from other than Downey.
Yep.
California.
Yeah.
Okay. This next question comes from Courtney. She sent it via our website. Courtney writes, I'm an adult trying to learn Spanish. I am not quite conversational, but want to practice with native speakers. Should I ask, in Spanish, if I can practice speaking with them prior to dropping my preschool-level mastery of their language? Or is it just rude to ask them to take extra time and effort to be my unpaid educator?
I think you can everybody appreciates that. Like, if you're learning a new language and you're going into an environment where it's their preferred method of communicating with each other, and if you're trying, I think people just appreciate it. I don't think it's ever rude.
Yeah,
I do the same thing because my Korean is terrible, and yet I try to communicate in Korean in Koreatown. You know, I think it's charming. Even when you go to France or whatever, people have this long sort of standing idea that French people are rude.
My experience in Paris was definitely that I tried my, you know, high school level French on them and was basically given the stink eye.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. No.
That's a seductive eye. Maybe I think you just misread the eye, my friend.
Maybe you misread the eye.
Maybe you can come to me for eye lessons.
I had a good experience with that.
All right.
In Germany, too, I had a good experience.
You also, though, I do think have to be careful that you don't offend people in another way. I mean, Margaret is approaching this person assuming that the person speaks Spanish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And don't approach Margaret with your Korean questions.
Because I'm not very good at speaking Korean, but I try.
You're from San Francisco.
Yes.
Keep trying.
All right. We scrambled that enough. Courtney, somewhere in there is an answer.
Indeed. Here is something from TM. Via our website, this is our last question. TM writes, my housemate and friend always talks while she eats, and I hate it. She also licks her fingers, which also drives me insane. If I see her preparing food, I leave the area until she's done eating. BTW, she is a highly educated and well-to-do person who has plenty of good manners, just not this one. What can I do?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think that... yeah, sometimes things like that. So when you're like cohabitating with people that, and it's not necessarily a romantic situation, there's a kind of thing that roommates have where they really get on your nerves. And it's just one of those things that you become hyper aware of certain behaviors. That's more the issue of like this intimacy that is not really about romantic intimacy. It's this kind of intimacy that's just about the closeness of another human being, which sometimes can be really horrible.
Yeah, you get no benefits from it except their rent.
The rent, and you know, you can, it's also fun to have a roommate too. I just can't, it's so weird. I'm so old, but it was in a roommate situation for the last 14 months, and it was really strange, you
know?
And my roommates were, they're very nice people, but they were also, some of them had been in prison. So they were all like making prison like casserole things where they were putting like ramen in like a bag and like smashing it and then putting hot water. And I mean, God bless them for, you know, really having an affinity for the food that they had when they were in prison. But like for me, I'm like, this is so gross to me.
Margaret, I'm sorry. We have to ask a follow up on that. So your roommates, how did you find them?
I was in rehab for 14 months, which I talk about in the show a lot.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just need to go back and color. You know, I really needed to like retreat from society and get a coloring book and just color. And it was so good. I really needed it.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people that were in my house were coming in from prison.
Like a halfway home.
Like a halfway house. Well, they'd committed these crimes because of drug stuff. And then in prison, really love to break up the ramen in the bag. And then, but I mean, there's so much sodium. There's so much sodium.
Sense the bloat in the title of your new show.
The bloat of the show has to do with the sodium content of all of my roommates' food.
But I think you actually point to something more poignant for TM, which is, you know, that's such a small thing. Chewing with your mouth open, maybe just, you know, take it in stride.
Yes. You could have had it way worse.
Margaret Cho, thank you so much for telling our audience how to behave.
Thank you.
Margaret Cho, she is currently touring her new comedy act, Fresh Off the Bloat.
She's also working on a TV show about her time in rehab. It's called Highland. Keep an eye out for that. Meanwhile, send us your etiquette issues and we'll pose them to someone smart and famous.
Got it.
Head to dinnerpartydownload.org and click contact.